This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Of the Mamas and Papas. Remember that song? Boy, was that a big song when I was in college. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and friend and co-conspirator, Big Ed, we thank you for joining us. Hey, it's Monday. Monday morning, March the 9th. Did you set your clocks up? If not, you're probably not listening because you don't know that we're on right now. But we're on Daylight Savings Time. I guess we're on daylight savings time now more than we're on regular time. I think it's like, I may be wrong, but I think it's like 8 or 7 months now of daylight savings, Ed. And then we got like five. I'm one of those rare birds. I actually like the standard time better than I like.
I think a lot of people do because, you know, this morning we put all our kids out at the bus stop in the dark.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, that's it. Actually, I think that's the most, that's the best reason for not doing it.
And because, you know, the other way it was getting dark at about, what, 6:45?
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to get past 7 o'clock eventually in the summer.
Yeah.
Why can't you leave it? Because in the summertime, it's light till, what, 8:45 almost.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, we're burning up the air conditioner even more, you know, if we,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Exactly. Ed, you're very intelligent. Because you think like I do. Anyway, it's March the 9th. We're going to be talking around 10:30. We usually do our interview with our guest at 10:15, but we're going to talk with Ian Murray at 10:30 this morning. He is of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk about a law. It's maybe a regulation is a better word, that will bring stability to a lot of these people that have franchises. There is all of this nonsense going on that people that work as independent contractors and don't work directly for a large corporation but work hand in hand with them are subject to the same laws that these corporations are subject to. So anyway, we're going to talk about a new law which will bring stability to that market. And I hate to look at the stock market. I got some money in it, but it's starting to dwindle. It's down, I hate to say this, it's almost 2,000 points down. Last I looked, 1,900 points or so. Wow. So while the stock market plunges, Italy is quarantining 1/4 of its population. How do you do that? How do you get 1 out of every 4 people to be quarantined? So we're going to talk a lot about that, the implications here in America. Are we moving towards that? It's getting a little bit scary out there. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 best states for fiscal stability. What does that mean? It means that they're not going to go bankrupt. They'll be the last 10 to go bankrupt. They're figuring out how to handle their money or your money in that state. So I think you'll be interested. By the way, we are sponsored in part by the best haircutting organization in Tampa Bay for men, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin. It's on State Road 580 and Overcash Drive. It's actually just north of that intersection. That's Main Street, downtown Main Street, Dunedin, and Overcash. Just go north on Overcash. There it is, Overcash Plaza. I'm telling you, it's the best haircut in Tampa Bay. You can't miss it. It's got a big stoplight in the window. Ed goes there and he sees the stoplight.
Mm.
So he knows. If it's green, he goes in. If it's If it's red, he's going to take a break or get a cup of coffee or something, right, Ed?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, in Ed's case, he might go over to the bar. No.
No, not that early. I get it in the morning, not that early.
No, that's too early for a drink, isn't it? Anyway, it's a great place to go.
By the way, the stock market's down 1,400.
Oh, well, you know, that's good news. That's good news. Can you believe it?
But now they're reporting another cruise ship has just pulled into Oakland, California, with 21 cases on board.
Oh, and not the
21.
Same. Not the same one that's already out there going in circles? Are you sure it's not the same one going in circles?
Well, it just says pulling into Oakland with 21 cases.
That's the same one going floating in around? Circles. Yeah. It's been hovering around the Golden
Gate Bridge.
Can you
imagine being in an inside cabin with no window? Ugh.
I cannot imagine.
Being quarantined.
Even if you're in a nice cabin, you can't go out of your cabin, apparently.
Well, I mean, if you got a balcony.
If you got a view.
If you got a balcony, that's not bad.
Yeah, I guess
I could do with that.
Yeah?
I could get room service and stuff for a couple weeks.
Well, I might take a running leap off of the ship and dive into the water.
I'm wondering, who's going to be the first one to jump overboard? I've had enough of this.
Although now that I think about it, there's lots of sharks roaming around San Francisco Bay. I'm not so sure I would do that.
Because, you know, either. Somebody's going to get liquored up and say, you know, I can swim this and jump.
By the way, that reminds me, how do they get their food? I mean, do they slide it under the door? Is the guy afraid? If he thinks that they have the virus, is he going to hand them the food? Also, what about the guy handing you the food?
I would think they have suits on or something to protect themselves. So. Yeah.
It's getting a little bit scary. But you see, just the way we're talking, we're making jokes. But think about that. That's how people think.
Yeah.
They worry about, you know, people don't even want to shake hands anymore. They don't want to shake hands. I'm still waiting for my first person that actually is wearing one of those masks.
Well, I've seen somebody walking around.
Have you?
In the one and only place you can find that.
Where?
Walmart.
Well, that's probably where I would wear one.
You need one anyway.
Yeah. Oh,
I was surprised it was actually, when you walk into Walmart, there's a hand sanitizer. You know, those cloths you can wipe. There was actually them in there. Of course, the shelves would be. I couldn't even buy bar soap.
Really?
They were out of every soap
bar
you can
soap
think.
Too?
Everything.
That's scary.
I said, where's the soap, the bar soap? She goes, we don't have any soap.
Walmart was out of bar soap?
Yep. They're even running on the shampoos now.
That's really different. See what I mean? We've got a little bit of fear now gripping
us. There's that.
That's an overreaction.
Then now people are thinking they can wash their hands with vodka instead, the hand sanitizer throughout. Which I'm not wasting that kind of...
No. I think I'll go with dirty hands. Yeah. I got a better place for the vodka than my hands. Holy Toledo. Well, Angelo, our what do we call him? We call him our voice from the north sometimes. We're hoping he'll call in within the next couple of minutes if he can hear the show. Normally, Angelo calls in from beautiful Rochester, New York around 10:30. But we need him to call in around 10:15 to talk to him. He's our eye in the northern sky because we have a little bit of a different format with our other guest today. So, Angelo, if you're listening, give us a call. Otherwise, they'll listen to my dulcet tones and Big Ed's until about 10:30. But we got a lot to talk about. We really do. We are now Monday, Tuesday, and Friday here on the Great Tan Talk Network. So that it's instead of Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Right, Ed?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got. Okay.
Yep.
I got to remember myself. I got to come in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So please continue. It's the same great show. And it's just Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. So that's the way we are. And we hope that you'll tune in. By the way, go to ourfreedomworks.com in case you forget. Our, freedomworks.com. Big Ed sets all our shows on podcast. He's a good guy. So you can listen anytime you want. Anytime. Just hit the podcast button. Ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Let us continue on here. By the way, just so you know, let's do this. Italy. This is kind of scary. Now, I was talking with somebody, Ed, about why is it that Italy has such a big problem? Why do they have a problem, let's say, and maybe not bad, as bad France or Spain or something, right? Well, Italy took a page from China, attempting to lock down 16 million people. That's one quarter of their population. In fact, it's more than a quarter. They want to keep them in quarantine to halt the relentless march of the coronavirus. Now, just think about it. If you take one quarter of your population and you basically lock them up, and you know what that would do. So weddings, museums, movie theaters, shopping malls, they're all affected in Italy by the new law, and mostly in northern Italy,
well,
by the way.
It says only 366 confirmed cases in Italy. What are they freaking out about?
I guess they have a lot of people that got it, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's because of their open border policy.
I guess some of the,
I'm not sure.
Some of the soccer, I've seen some of the soccer teams are now playing without the fans in the stands.
In fact, I was wondering about that here.
The NBA is mulling it over. It's freaking out. I mean, just come on.
People don't want to go to where there are large crowds because they're afraid of catching it.
And don't go.
Let's be honest. They're afraid of catching it. So they're doing more testing there in Italy. It says here they have more than 7,300 people infected in Italy after mass testing. And another place that it's not so good is in South Korea. Did you know that? They have it bad in South Korea, too. But anyway, that's the way things are going. Now, the stock market is down to, it's just dropping like a rock. Because and did you notice that one of the things, if you go by the gas stations, did you notice how cheap the gas is?
I filled up yesterday for $2.10.
Yeah.
$2.10.
You know what it was about a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really plunged. Oil prices, they plunged by nearly one quarter, 25%. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Well, airlines are canceling flights. Cruise ships are not going out.
Plus, you got an argument going on between Saudi Arabia and Russia. Both of them produce oil.
Well,
and they got a big
argue.
Stink going on.
Keep
now
arguing.
We have an oil glut. People aren't buying oil. So anyway, we're going to take our break. And maybe, if we're lucky, our eye in the sky will call. If he's not going to call, we'll continue on until we get our guest. Freedom Works. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshew.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thank you very much for joining us. Looking at the stock market, 1457, okay. Well, it was down close to 1,900 points, so I guess we'll call it good news if you want to call it that, but it isn't really. So, we talked about the fact that we got a little bit of an issue with quarantining, and American passengers on that Grand Princess, which is the one that is floating around near the Golden Gate Bridge in Northern California, since Thursday. What is today? Monday? Wow. Anyway, they'll be transferred to military posts in California. So they'll finally, apparently, be able to get off the ship. Not only in California, but military bases also over in Texas and out east in Georgia. They'll be tested there. They'll be in for 2 weeks in a quarantine environment. And that's going to be kind of rough. And here they thought they were going to have a nice cruise, right? Boy, are they regretting they ever got on that ship, I would think. But right now, you know, I think people are, as Ed mentioned, you can't even get soap in Walmart. A bar soap in Walmart? If you can't get bar soap in Walmart, what are you going to do? If we don't have any soap at home, think about it. There goes the shower. Or like Ed said, you can take a shower and pour vodka over your head. I mean, I don't know exactly how you would clean up. In the meantime, we have another debate, or no, we have another primary coming up tomorrow. So we get to see whether or not Bernie Sanders can beat out Joe Biden in Michigan. Now, Michigan is a big, big, important state for the Democrats. Why? Because they got a lot of blue-collar votes up there. And remember, the Donald Trump, for the first time in a long time, was a Republican president that won that state. So so now, you know, Joe Biden's getting a little, would you say he's starting to look a little not only disoriented, he looks a little bit like he's ready to lay down in a coffin sometimes. He's got all that white makeup. Maybe that's it. But anyway, Bernie Sanders is saying Joe Biden wants a sit-down format for the next debate. And Bernie wants to stand. That's kind of interesting. Isn't Bernie older? I think Bernie's a little older than Joe. Now, Joe Biden's 77 years old. I got to find out how old Bernie is. I didn't say here. Anyway, Bernie's accusing Joe of wanting to sit down during the debate. And he doesn't want to sit down. Bernie's also kind of implying that Joe doesn't have the stamina. And maybe that's true. I'm beginning to wonder about Joe Biden. If he talks for any length of time.
Bernie is 78.
He's 78. Okay, so they're actually just 1 year difference. Bernie's actually a year older. But I wonder if it's true that Bernie has a little more energy. Now, all the other debates have required the candidate stand at a podium. But apparently, and maybe it's because Joe wants more of an informal approach. Very interesting, huh? Now, the Biden campaign says it has nothing to do with wanting to relax Joe. They say, well, you know, we stood for all the other debates and it's been fine. But the only thing is you're going to be thinking more and you have to talk more when there's only two of you. And they're going to be on stage for, what, a couple of hours talking to each other? So Biden's deputy campaign manager now says we'll participate in whatever way the debate managers want it. It's going to be another CNN debate, by the way. So anyway, it'll be kind of interesting. But I'm not sure when the next debate is, actually. Let's see here. March 15th will be the next debate. Okay, so there you go. It's another 6 days away. In the meantime, on the Tuesday primary coming up, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how Michigan goes. That is probably the key state right now for both the Sanders and Biden people. Because right now it looks like Joe Biden is starting to pull away a little bit. We'll see about that. Very interesting. I'm not sure that, let's see. No, I guess it'll be just a crazy, crazy deal. They're going to be bringing up, of course, what the administration is doing with the coronavirus and how they would do a better job. And where they're going to go with all of that. In the meantime, those of you that live in the Prairie State, which is Illinois, you got a little bit of a problem with what is going on with the state. Long the economic hub of the Midwest, Illinois has lost more than 850,000 residents to other states during the past 10 years. It's been shrinking for 6 consecutive years and suffered the largest raw population decline of any state in the last decade. Puerto Rico's also had a problem with people and losing population. And like Puerto Rico, Illinois is drowning in red ink. Growing government debt and a crushing tax burden are depressing economic growth. State spending is also up, but personal income for individuals lagging. Illinois' per capita personal income growth has been over 20% lower than the national average. So they're not doing something right there. And they're going to have to start looking at ways of shedding some of this debt that they have accumulated. They made big contracts with unions, guaranteeing them all kinds of benefits and retirement extras. Well, they did that some years ago, and now they find they don't have the money to continue to pay the retirement benefits. So the chickens are coming home to roost in Illinois. And by the way, a little bit later, we're going to give you the top 10 states that are running their economic bill paying the best. You know what I mean? The best fiscal responsibility. Anyway, let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
Car.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Viking Encampment, Pit of Misery, Escape Room, all at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Weekend, February 15th through March 29th. Discount tickets are available at Circle K and online at BayAreaRenFest.com. Irish dancers, beer Olympics, and men in kilts. The largest St. Patty's Day party in the Bay Area. Wear your green and rally your team. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Discount tickets available at Circle K and at BayAreaRenFest.com. Just do it!
Let's go bowling!
Let's go bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's go bowling show, gobowlingshow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. We're back on a Monday morning, and what the stock market is right now, around 1,477 points to the red. That's a little bit of a scary situation here. Well, we're delighted to have back Ian Murray. He is Vice President for Strategy and a Senior Fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk with Ian about the joint employer rule, which gives a little bit of stability, you might say, to franchises around the country. Ian, welcome back to Freedom Works.
It's great to be back with you.
Hey, Ian, I'm looking at the stock market. I just got to ask you this. You know something about businesses. With 1,400 points to the negative, I know you are not a predictor of what is going to go on, but is most of this because, do you think, of the coronavirus, or is it a combination of that and oil prices that's doing this?
Yeah, I think you put the finger on it there when you say combination of the virus and oil prices. You know, when you look, oil prices have gone down the most since 1991, you know, during the first Gulf War, when, you know, oil production was just interrupted around the world. Of course, now we have a much more globalized oil market, but this is an indication that the markets expect economic activity to contract considerably. So it is, if you look at the companies that are being hit on the stock market, it's those that have got that those globalized supply chains who are being hit with a 1-2 punch of the coronavirus and the tariffs. And you look at the oil prices, the smaller oil companies are being hit hard. The people are expecting to be a significant contraction in economic activity around the world.
You know, it's just amazing how a little, well, it's not little, of course, but how one thing can turn everything around. I mean, the stock market was going towards 30,000 points, you know, and now we're down to what, about 2,400? 24,000. I mean, would one have expected something like this to occur?
Well, this is a classic economic shock. I mean, if you look at the jobs numbers that came out on Friday,
they were good.
They weren't just good; they were spectacular.
Yeah.
Double what people were expecting. The economy was in really good shape. And now it's just been hit by this shock. Yeah, as I used to say in the Reagan White House, when something when bad things happen, don't just stand there, undo something.
Yes.
And I think, you know, what the administration needs to do, you know, right now is think about, you know, deregulatory stimulus and, you know, supply side stimulus. What it can do to stop this shock having, you know, becoming a sort of permanent recession, there's still plenty on the deregulatory agenda that they can do.
Really? Wow. Well, speaking of all of that, perhaps one of these rules that they have now been the National Labor Relations Board has finalized the rule, which might bring some stability, I guess, to the franchise industry. Do you want to talk a little bit about this joint employer situation?
Yeah, absolutely. The joint employer is a really obscure employment concept, but it has far-reaching effects. Basically, what happens is when one company contracts with another for it to do, you know, a large portion of its business. For instance, if a manufacturing concern contracts with a staffing agency, and those and employees of that staffing agency come in to do work for the manufacturer, then under certain circumstances, the larger firm, the contracting firm, can be declared a joint employer of the employees of the other firm, and so makes them equally responsible for their employment standards, you know, time off,
right, all of the benefits like too, like health insurance and all of
absolutely.
That kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah. So this definition of joint employer goes back to the New Deal. But for 40 years, up until 2015, they'd used what we call a bright line standard, whereby the contracting firm had to exercise direct and immediate control over the activities of the employees. That was a nice bright line standard. People knew where the line was. And you know, they took planes not to cross it. The Obama era National Labor Relations Board, pushed hard by unions, decided to change this to a sort of balance of the evidence test, which really blurred the line completely. And this is where it became apparent that that this change was aimed at franchise businesses. So the idea was that McDonald's corporate would be responsible for the employees of all McDonald's franchises around the country, and that would also make it a lot easier to unionize those franchises. So that was where the impetus for this was coming from. But of course, if you do that, then McDonald's is going to want to have much more control over the dealings of the franchisees, and it was essentially just destroy the franchise business model.
Wow. Yeah, because now, like, using your model, McDonald's, people can make an investment and actually run their own two or three McDonald's and take care of things and not have the, the corporate clamping down on them. Go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly what happens. So under the franchise business model, you basically buy the brand, as it were, and a certain way of doing things from the corporation, but you yourself are your own business owner. You own one store, four stores. You're a small business person, and the day-to-day runnings of the stores are up to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the person who deals with the employees, hires, fires, all that sort of thing. You are basically an independent businessman who just contracts with the McDonald's Corporation for the branding and the recipes and supply chains and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, you really run the business. This bit, under the Obama era joint employer rule, in all probability, you would cease to be an independent businessman and would essentially become a middle or even junior manager in a gigantic corporation, because the corporation would want to have much more control over the franchisees, because they were liable under this joint employer rule.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking when you're talking about all of this, Ian? I'm thinking about how our federal government has allowed, has taken away the liberties of people that are just transacting between each other to buy and sell products. I mean, that's really what it's all about. We've got people in Washington, dictating how, say, one business and another business want to work together. That's kind of what it's all about. We got the National Labor Relations Board, and we've got all of these other organizations. And, coming from a libertarian perspective, one would say, we don't want the Washington bureaucracies deciding what one business can contract and do with another business, as long as they're not hurting anybody, It's just this whole concept of taking away the liberty or the freedom. Now, I guess this little law basically is trying to insert a little bit of liberty or freedom back into the pot. Would you say that?
Well, yes. I mean, there is the most latitude given for interference when rules that emanate from Washington are broad and vague. You as a business owner never know when you're going to get hit by the effects of this law, and that's exactly what the Obama era rule did. It really broadened and vagued interpretation of this law.
What the
NLRB has done has just been to re-inject some clarity and say, look, as long as you're not exercising direct and immediate control, you, the McDonald's parent, are not exercising direct and immediate control over franchise employees, which they aren't and they don't want to, then you're okay. So the franchisees can breathe easy, the corporate franchisor can breathe easy, and we can get ahead with the idea of creating wealth and bringing value to the customers.
Right. Talking with Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about the joint employer rule. Ian, why did the unions want this kind of, why are they fighting against this joint employer rule? Do they think that their people somehow get better benefits if the big guy between the two that are contracting with more benefits, has to dole out the benefits? How does that work?
Well, yes. Well, I mean, they want to be able to unionize the whole of the a franchise business in one swoop, rather than having to go to each distinct bargaining unit,
mm-hmm.
As they call them, which would be the franchise the franchisees. If they could unionize the whole of one franchise business, then that's great, and then they can just negotiate contracts with the franchise parent,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to worry about the the franchisees. And of course, this would because there is what they call exclusive representation, which means that once a union is recognized, it represents all members, all employees. Sorry, should I say? Mm-hmm. As of that business, they would then get the income stream of membership dues from every single employee, whether they were a member of the union or not.
Okay.
And so that would be an absolutely huge income stream for the for the unions, and so that's the clear motivation here is that this would just make getting those income streams so much easier.
Okay, one final question, Ian. Shall I take all of my money out of the stock market and put it under my bed?
I am unable to provide financial advice.
I think I'm going to leave it in there and just hope for better times. Okay. Ian, thank you so much. I know you've been busy today. We do indeed appreciate you taking some time to chat with us.
It's always a pleasure. Happy to come back anytime.
All right, Ian. Thank you so much. Ian Murray of the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to take our break, and hopefully when we come back, we're going to have our eye in the northern sky. So stay tuned.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Viking Encampment, Pit of Misery, Escape Room, all at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Weekend, February 15th through March 29th. Discount tickets are available at Circle K and online at BayAreaRenFest.com. Irish dancers, beer Olympics, and men in kilts. The largest St. Patty's Day party in the Bay Area. Wear your green and rally your team. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Discount tickets available at Circle K and at BayAreaRenFest.com. Just do it!
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. That is our new weekly program schedule here on the Great Tantalk Network. Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Before we get to our eye in the northern sky, did you know that walking extends your life? If you walk a lot, Ed, walking extends your life. Two new studies adding to the growing consensus in the medical community that for older adults, if you can walk about 30 minutes a day, you're going to extend your life. And you're also going to be a lot healthier and happier. Very, very interesting. And, you know, everybody can walk. I guess if you're in an area where it's not safe, or you got too many major roads and you don't want to walk and get hit by a bus, buy one of those little walking machines. I don't know what they cost anymore. I have one that I used to use even for running, you know. But these days, I guess they've become more expensive, but they're also more reliable. So walk, walk, walk. That's the thing. We got our eye in the northern sky. Angelo Ceresi, a lot going on, Angelo. Do you do a lot of walking around Rochester, New York?
I do a lot of bike riding when the weather's nice.
Oh, that's
cool. I have an e-bike, and I put it on just like maybe number one to help assist because I got a bad knee, you know?
Oh, yeah. So you have to be careful about how much you do. You put weight and pressure on there, huh?
Yeah, and then, to keep the heart going. So
biking's great.
Like four, five, 6 miles in the summertime, you know?
Yeah, biking's
great. I might even do it today. It's going to be like 64 degrees.
You guys are really having some good weather over there. 64? Wow.
Oh, the snow's gone. We've got some beautiful weather coming up.
Are you taking all your money out of the stock market, Angelo? Under your mattress right now? Or what are you doing with your money? Do you have any money in the stock market?
I do. I'm going to just keep it in there for a while, but as soon as it gets back up again, I'm going to take it out and just put it in the bank. You know, being retired and everything like that, shouldn't be really in the stock market, especially at these volatile times, you know?
Well, it's very volatile. Do you have a lot of, do you have any money in the bonds? Because they always say, you know, I'm no expert, but if stocks...
Well, I've got it in, like, some safe stuff that, you know, I mean, I'll take a hit, but it shouldn't be a big hit like a lot of people, you know? But even though I have it in a safe thing, I'm still going to take it out. If it gets back up to the 29,000 again or whatever, which I don't know how long it's going to take to do that, I will. I'll take it out this time.
Okay.
My gut feeling before was to take it out, but
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said I was going to take it out, but now you got to leave it in, you know.
Right now,
I have a choice.
Right now, it's dropped 1,575 points today.
I just saw that. Yes.
And
to the oil, I guess there's an oil.
So Donald
place.
Trump is going to probably be taking some questions in a few minutes. He just got off a plane. He's in Orlando, Florida. Then they will certainly ask him about all of this.
I'm sure that the Democrats are hoping that this really tanks because they don't have anything to run on, you know.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Now we've got another primary coming up.
Yes, and I guess I was just checking it out that Biden's leading Bernie Sanders by 20 some odd points in Michigan.
And that's the key state, Michigan.
Yes,
both of them are aiming towards that one. It's a key state for Donald Trump too. Michigan.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I hear a rumor now that the thing is that I was talking to my brother this morning, you know, that they're thinking about, you know, Hillary Clinton making her the, you know, this is all a ploy to get her back on the ticket, to get her to be the running mate. I don't know if you'd heard that.
I've heard all kinds of rumors that she might come back into the equation. Now, if Bernie Sanders wins, I don't think he would make her his vice
president. No, I don't even think he's, you know, the thing is, they have drummed him right out of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did it to himself, too, last week when he talked about Fidel Castro and praising Fidel Castro and the communist system.
Well,
that just blew him right out of the water.
Yeah, he didn't talk about it. They brought it up because they remembered him saying things about it sometime back, right?
Well, they remembered him saying, right, they brought it up. And this was a ploy to get rid of him.
Yeah.
They didn't want him. And the best thing they did is they must have talked to, well, remember last week I said Klobuchar was going to be one to drop out?
Yeah.
They got to the other people, and they're putting their backings behind Joe Biden.
Yes.
Because they're moderate. They can't have Bernie Sanders. And the ploy now, I think, is to bring in Hillary Clinton.
So she would be on the ticket with Joe.
That's right.
I wonder how that would work. Doesn't Joe worry that Hillary is not very likable?
I don't think Joe thinks he's that likable either.
Well, who?
I mean,
I think Joe's more likable than she is.
Than Hillary, right.
Ball.
But, you know, you figure he's just going to be a figurehead. That's all.
Oh, so Hillary's going to run the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they're gonna slide Joe. They're gonna put him in a rocking chair and slide him into a closet. Is that
right? You know, they've been wanting to put Hillary in there all this time.
Oh, I see.
And the voters, you know, like the last time, remember they wanted Hillary, that she had 3 million votes before more than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
We know that doesn't go by the popular vote, but they kept pushing that. You know.
Hey, speaking about Hillary, did you know that her husband Bill Clinton, remember him?
Yes, all his anxieties.
He reportedly says in an upcoming documentary that the reason he was running around with Monica Lewinsky was to, quote, manage my anxieties. Well, now we know.
Now we know. I guess he should have been able to, you know, if you can't take the heat in the kitchen, you might as well get out, right? I'm sure there's a lot of anxieties with that presidential job.
He says everybody's life has pressures and disappointments, terrors, fears, or whatever. And he said, things I did to manage my anxieties.
He was running around with Monica.
Let's face it. To manage his anxieties, he was running around chasing every skirt he could find.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And it's also unbelievable that the so-called, the left tolerated all of that nonsense for all of those years and looked the other way. And now when, you know, all of that's gone, now they come out and they say those kinds of things are, you know, are career-ending moves. So
yeah, that's what they say, but do they really believe it? No.
Apparently not.
It's still the same.
Apparently not, because all of the same people that are screaming now about it were backing Bill Clinton back then, so.
But the thing is, they'll still back Hillary. And they've been backing Hillary all along. She's the one that started this Russian collusion. You know, Russia, Russia, Russia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, and then they followed suit with the Mueller report there and all this other stuff.
Finally, I got to ask you real quickly because we're going to run here. But Joe Biden's campaign says, or we're talking about the fact that the next debate they have in 6 days with just Bernie and him, why can't they sit down? And Bernie people are kind of using that as an excuse to say that Joe is kind of getting weak and, you know, physically deteriorating.
What do you think? I'd heard that one, too.
Do you think they should be sitting or standing?
Let them stand.
Let them stand. Let's see the first one that drops to his knees.
Well, first one to drop.
First one that drops has to back out of the whole thing, and the other one is the nominee. How's that sound?
Yep. Yeah, I see. Let them stand.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for coming on at a different time with us today, Angelo. We'll be back to normal next Monday for you.
Okay.
But we appreciate it very much, and looking forward to next week with you.
It's always a pleasure.
All right, sir. Bye for now. There he is, the eye in our northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. Going to take, no, we're not going to take anything. We're going to go right to our top 10. You know, I'm so used to going to a commercial break ad right after we do an interview.
Yep.
But not in this case. We have a very good one for our ultimate top 10. Top 10 best states for fiscal stability. That means you got the people in your legislature in your state that seem to know what in the heck they're doing with your money.
Hmm.
You know? So let's find out what the top 10 states are. And when we get to number one, I'm going to ask Ed if he can. You know, Ed's pretty good. He's a pretty good guesser. Sometimes he even knows. By the way, this is from, I think it's from Forbes magazine. Let me make sure. Yeah, I think Forbes ran this, so we'll give them the credit. All right, here we go. Top 10 best states, fiscal stability, number 10. New Hampshire. Now, they just had a primary there, but apparently they know up there. They used to be considered the live free or die state, New Hampshire. And they seem to know. I always think of people in New Hampshire as being a little bit, how would you say this, penurious, stingy with their money. You know, they hold on to it, make sure whatever they're doing. Okay, number 9. Georgia. Yeah. These people are very good with their money. So you people around Atlanta, driving through there, you can be comfortable that, you know, they seem to be knowing what they're doing. Number 8. And this one surprised me a little bit. Really did. Virginia. Now, why do I say I'm surprised? Because Virginia is right next to Washington, D.C., where they don't care at all about overspending. So a lot of government employees living in Virginia, and yet, apparently, maybe their legislature looks towards what's going on in D.C. and realizes they have to be careful. Number 7, the corn state, the corn husker state. You know what the corn husker state is, Ed? Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Yeah, exactly. Nebraska is number 7, a Midwestern state, big farming country. Good for them. Number 6, another farming state, Indiana. Yes, indeed, Indiana. The corn, lots of corn in Indiana, and also lots of fiscal responsibility. Number 5, Utah. Not surprising. Lots of Mormons in Utah. Kind of fundamental religious types of people in certain ways. Okay, number 4. Number 4 is North Carolina. North Carolina. All right, number 3. South Dakota. Now, both of these states are, they tend to be conservative. South Dakota in particular. All right, number 2. Our state, Ed, Florida.
Hmm.
Yeah, Florida is very fiscally responsible. So we got to, you know, tip the hat to Ron DeSantis and the Republican legislature. All right, here we go, Ed.
I'll go with Montana.
That's a... Well, I won't say anything. I'll wait. I would have guessed something like that as well. It's not, though. It's Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The volunteer state is number 1. Their long-term fiscal responsibility is first, and their short-term is 7th. Number 1. So there you go. All right. Thanks for joining us. We're back tomorrow, Tuesday. Remember, freedom works.